Hello and welcome to the first of hopefully many UK and Ireland Jets podcasts. We're very proud to be the largest community of Jets fans in the UK and Ireland. And over this past season, we've had significant demand for a podcast.
Hey, people, now.
And with a large thanks to Dan, who unfortunately can't be with us tonight, here we are talking rubbish for our phones amongst ourselves for your entertainment. I mean, let's be fair, we haven't got a tough task. Pretty easy being entertained as a Jets fan. We just want to stress that while we're all super excited bringing this to you, we have very little podcast experience. So bear with us and don't boo us like typical fans just yet. We welcome all of your feedback and comments, so do get in touch with us and help us improve. Ultimately, we want to be a podcast for the fans, by the fans. We plan on including and interacting with as many of you as possible. I'm sure you've all had enough of my boring voice already. So it's time to introduce the team that will be enlightening you of all things Jets over the coming months. So over to you, Josh.
So my name's Josh. I became a Jet fan about 12 years ago or so ago. First game I watched was the Jets versus the Giants. I picked a team and stuck with it. Since then, I've seen the Patriots win 3 Super Bowls, the Giants win 2 Super Bowls, and the Jets be absolutely atrocious. So you could also say I'm gotten for punishment. I'll focus a lot on the draft. I'm based in America, so I've got season tickets at LSU, and I've seen 4 of the top 10 teams in the nation in terms of draft products, so I've got quite first-hand experience seeing them live, so it should be interesting to share that with you all.
Cool.
Next up.
I'm Ross. I've been a Jets fan since... I would say 2009. Started watching in 2008, but 2009 was the first season I got to see them play. So I got to see them reach 2 AFC Championship games back to back. So I got into the swing of things as a Jets fan very quickly of disappointment and watching them not make a Super Bowl. So I, just like Josh, will be focusing primarily on free agency and the draft. It's something that I pride myself on being very good at doing, and used to write for American football page. So yeah, draft analysis is what my strong suit is, and free agency analysis as well. So hope everyone's looking forward to that.
Definitely.
I'm Yusuf. I've been supporting the Jets since the probably early 2000s, although my dad did get me a Keyshawn Johnson jersey back in the 90s. So, yeah, I didn't really, it was pretty hard to follow it back then. Started getting into it a bit more I was a big NBA fan before that, but kind of went hand in hand following American sports before the social media boom. Disappointment is... it's fundamental with pretty much all of my American sports teams, but probably mostly with the Jets over recent seasons. I'm here to basically hollow out any player I think is not pulling their weight. Pretty much blame everything that goes bad on Adam Gase's odd stare. And yeah, just kind of provide a kind of opinion from a fan's point of view that everybody can kind of relate to, really. And just, hopefully things will change and we can all move forward in this new world of Sam Darnold and Jamal Adams. Hopefully things will turn a corner and this podcast will be less drinking and more happiness. But, yeah, anyway, over to Lee.
I'm Lee. Very similar to Ross in that I started following the Jets in 2009. First game I saw was that season. I went to watch the Jets against Jags at the old Giant Stadium. As has been mentioned, you know, Sanchez rookie year kind of bought into that. Thomas Jones, great offensive line that year. So it was hard not to get behind them. But as has been mentioned already, it's gone downhill since. But I'm going to kind of contribute where possible to the podcast and in general. I'm a huge Spencer Long fan. so if you're in the WhatsApp chat, you'll get my reference there. But, going to contribute. I mean, huge fan of the Jets, much like everyone else here, and just kind of excited for what's to come from UK and Ireland Jets HQ. It's been really exciting so far since being part of the group for about a couple of months. So, yeah, get excited. It's going to be good.
Hi, guys. I'm Henry, and being quite young and supporting the Jets and Arsenal, all I've suffered my life is disappointment. Hopefully that's going to change. Yeah, that's about it, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, well, back to me. So my name's Seb, and for all of you that follow the UK and Ireland Jets on Twitter and Instagram, this is the voice behind the words, well, other than the sassiest, funnier tweets that are from Olivia. I'm a student in London, and my nan brought me back a football with the Jets on when I was a lot younger, and unfortunately, I'm as loyal as a dog because I feel obligated to support them. Little did I know the pain that would cause.
We all know it too.
All I can say is I'm very privileged to have been able to connect so many Jets fans over the last few years, especially this year. We've seen a big growth in the community, and I'm hoping this podcast will continue that, really. But let's go on to the next segment of the show. And the first question comes from the underscore lanky one on Instagram. Great name, by the way. And he says, how likely do you think it is that the Jets will land Le'Veon Bell?
So likely, I'll give a chance as anyone. We've got the cap space. I think the most likely is probably the Colts. I think they've got cap space. They've got some, they've proved that they're ready to win now, unlike ourselves. But if he's about money, I think we can offer more than anyone else. We've got a bigger need than the Colts. I think they had the rookie last year come in and do a good job. But if I was to rank it, I'd probably go Colts, then us. I think probably the fairest way of reading it.
Yeah.
Is it cynical that I think that he's just going to go to the people who offer him the most money? Is that a bad thing to think?
I don't think that at all. I see it more as, to be fair, it's difficult to see with Le'Veon what he'll do because his motivations just are all over the place from what I can see, and they're very sort of kept to himself and his agent. I think that's entirely meant. I think he is trying to play the market as well as possible, to see how much money he can get out of each team and what the situation's best for him. Realistically, scheme-wise, we don't have the best fit for him. I think a team like Baltimore or Houston probably has a better fit for a Le'Veon Bell than what we have in our offense. But
are you deeming that on Gase's offense at Miami, or?
Yeah, based off Gase's offense in Miami, where a lot of the runners he's had have been up the sort of up the middle runners, trying to just pound it straight through the middle, like a Jay Ajayi or Lamar Miller.
Frank Gore
as well. I mean, I think the thing with Gase is he's such a good offensive mind that I think he could easily incorporate a system that would have a place for him. But right now, if he's wanting to win now, we are really not the place for him.
What I would comment on what you just said about scheme fit, I agree, but it's also one of my biggest pet peeves with the NFL and the coaches. They can never adjust their own scheme. They're so stuck in the ways that their scheme is the only way. Instead of saying, do you know what, he's a top five player in his position in the league, he'd be the best offensive piece we've had in God knows how long. We were talking about
that's not difficult though. That's not difficult.
It's not you won't turn it down.
You adjust for players of that level of quality.
You adjust your scheme to fit someone like Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion. Whether Gase will, I think, is going to be the sort of thing that will define his term here. Can he adjust his scheme? If not, I think it will go very similar to Miami. If he's willing to, hopefully we've got the quarterback that's better than anything he had at Miami. Maybe it can be a success.
I mean, it's quite well documented that Le'Veon is a Jets fan. Do you think that will play any influence?
I don't think it matters at the professional level at all.
Agreed,
maybe when I was a kid, I thought, Oh, yeah, no, he's obviously from that area, you know, he's supposed to the team. They don't care. This is a job at the end of the day. They're getting paid to do a job. Yeah, I think it is very difficult with Bell in the sense that because he's had that whole season off, there is that element of mystery in regards to, is he just in it for the money? Or does he want to win now? I mean, the whole thing. Usually you've got a vibe, you know, you've got players coming near to the end of their career, they're trying to get a few final contracts or whatever. You've got young players who've hit their prime slightly earlier than usual, and they're looking at, right, if I can move and get to a team that's pushing now, then I've got a chance of getting a ring in my career. With Bell, it's kind of a situation where you're going to find out, you're going to find the proof's going to be in the pudding after the fact. You're going to look and he's going to sign with either Indy and you go, he's got a chance of winning now, or he's going to sign with the Jets and he's going to be like, oh, this is potentially a bit more about brand and money. So it's very difficult in this particular situation, I think.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. What, he's 27, so he's for a running back. Yeah, okay, but they start declining, what, around 29, 30, pretty much.
Yeah, I think.
You know, you look at what Tomlinson done. Obviously, he was a charger for a lot of his career, but he came to the Jets to win in his declining years.
Yeah.
I could see Bell doing something similar where he takes the payday with the Jets and then after the inevitable cut after 3 years, goes to a contender there, providing he's still healthy. I think that's possibly something he's likely to do.
Some of our listeners may know, at the UK and Ireland Jets, we have a WhatsApp group, which we started at the beginning of the last season. It was a great way for many to meet and chat. So Noel Davidson is our moment so far.
Lucinda's Super Bowl experience.
Yes, that's 100%. My God. What, reading her rapid decline into a drunken stupor that involved just the attempt of swearing that just came out as the word duck every other message was probably the highlight for me. She, and then you saw the ducks. I was posting duck emojis. I was trying to wind her up, but which kind of enraged her even more to a point where she then messaged saying, I've just gone at a bunch of Patriots fans in my Jets jersey. I'm going to take. And then the messages just stopped. They just stopped. And you went, oh God, she's been nicked. She's been punched in the face. You didn't know what happened to her. That was brilliant. That made my Super Bowl night because the rest of it.
It was painful.
It was awful.
Yeah. Another bit was mentioned earlier on. Someone came in, realised we were all slating Talong, went mental, called his old God knows what, and then just left 10 minutes later.
You spent so long alone. You leave Spencer Long alone. That was my personal highlight as I was amazing.
I don't really have any positives from it because I've been in the WhatsApp chat for about a day.
that's
not even a day, half a day.
Even in an hour.
Yeah, I came
in. I mean, the other two.
Well, I actively saw the page on. I actively saw the page on the Jets account, just consistently commenting stuff, and I was like, "Oh, right." And then I saw that our sort of fellow Jets fan group in America are doing a podcast, and I was like, I wonder if they're going to do a UK one. Mm-hmm. So I just immediately messaged through the Instagram asking if what was happening and if it was going to be happening and stuff. And
can I just say at this point that if anybody is listening to this and wants to join the group, it is the most welcoming, sensible group. Barring Lucinda, honestly, the only time you're going to get in trouble is if you don't like roast dinners. Apart from that, you're fine. But all in all, if you're listening to this and you want to get involved with the people in the group, they are so nice, so welcoming. I mean, I wasn't sure what was going to happen when I joined the group, and everybody has been really nice and accommodating, and it's a great group of people to get to know.
Can I just add one more point onto that? Great. We've got a lot of Arsenal and Spurs fans, so anyone else, please join.
There's nothing wrong with Spurs fans.
It's getting a bit heavy down in North London.
Well, for those of you that are wondering why Yusuf mentioned the roast dinners, I, as many of you know, during a game earlier in the season, posted a picture of my roast dinner I had cooked because I was that bored with the Jets. And ever since in the chat, Sunday roasts him, and it is literally roasted by everyone in the chat. I mean,
mainly you, there are very you're few terrible, Seb.
See, I still get roasted about it now. I mean, there are very few nice comments passed about each other's roasts, but it's good culinary chat. Yeah, so let's move on to the next question. So Louis Davio 1997 on Insta asked, should the Jets trade for Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, otherwise known as Mr. Big Chest?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in on that. I'm in. Providing we trade back down in the draft, it's going to be a trade down, and what we can pick up out of that trade down, if that happens, that will give us the ammo to get AB.
They're saying it's going to take a third because they're done with them.
There's no going back from this.
If we get them for a third, I'm all in on it. It comes down to basic cost. If they're asking for the number 3 overall pick, it's a hell no. It's, you're going to need to see what they're asking, but if you can get top 5 wide receiver in the league for a third round pick, especially when you look at what the Jets pick in the second and third round, would you rather a 26-year-old Canadian that barely played this year? That's what you got with third round last year. It's not as if we're trusted back to be some genius talent evaluator.
And he can't evaluate wide receivers either. I think that's
going back to a point on Le'Veon Bell really quickly, because I've just seen a tweet just right now. Apparently, Bell is seeking a deal worth $50 million in the first 2 years. 25 million dollars a year. So he's wanting a front-loaded deal with the Jets.
That's what Mac does.
That basically eliminates us from the free agent market for the next 2 years if we stock up this year.
We've got $100 million in space this year, but
yeah. But that eliminates a quarter of our space this year alone just by signing him now.
Yeah. But I don't think anyone's going to offer him that, though, so we're not going to have to do it.
Sorry for the
somebody will pay him.
Sorry,
there will be a GM with his finger on the trigger ready. He will be just wanting to appease fans, and he will say, "Let's get him." There's so many egos in the league that not only will there be someone to sign him, there will be a market at that price. I reckon.
That's crazy.
That's
high level quarterback money.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, along with Antonio Brown, do you think either of them would be a negative influence on Darnold being a young quarterback?
No.
Needs to learn how to handle Divas.
The one thing I can give as a positive for Antonio Brown is how much support he gave Ben Roethlisberger until the end of this season. He supported him 100% and was always had his back. And I think something's happened in that locker room that Pittsburgh's not wanting to speak about, and that Antonio Brown doesn't want to speak about. I can't see how he's flipped so much from being sort of like an Odell Beckham-ish player without the cancer in the locker room to being now this. Something's not just happened.
The thing I'd argue is right now, I think most people would agree our two best receivers are Quincy, who's always injured, and Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, who's always in prison.
So, exactly right. So you can say, do you want those sort of influences around Darnold? Right now, his best receiver that's always on the field, theoretically, is Robbie Anderson, who's always arrested. So it's not as if we've filled the locker room with great people around them as it is. At least this way, you've got talented people around them that screw up all the time.
The point that was mentioned a minute ago about something happening like behind the scenes at Pittsburgh, you've got to think that to a point, it might actually be Roethlisberger, because if they're not talking about it, that screams to me as if they're defending their franchise quarterback by not leaking out what's happened. So Antonio Brown's coming from a point where he believes that he has been wronged, but he is the minority in the majority where the whole Steelers organization have gone, we can probably replace you easier than we can do a franchise quarterback. It's the same with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and previous wide receivers he's had. You know, they've gone quiet, and wide receivers have come out and gone, I don't think you realise what it's like there. It's Aaron Rodgers, follow him or get the hell out.
The difference here is it's not as if he's been quiet. Brown. Himself either.
But I think the truth's not coming out because the Steelers don't want it to come out, because it's probably Ben Roethlisberger being that diva that has been reported over the last few years.
I'm not denying that. What I mean, though, is he's not helping his cause with this Mr. Big Chest Instagram video and the tweets he's been sending out.
Odell Beckham Jr. is a similar ego, but all of us should be like, yep, no, I'll have him 100%.
I still want Brown. I'm just saying that I don't think he's helping his case if he wants him to come in and give him big money.
I think with Antonio Brown as well, I think it all comes down to what happens in the draft for us. I think if we get Brown, it comes after the draft during the draft. I don't see us trading our first round pick until the draft day of days before it. And we need the draft capital to go after him. And we're not going to give up a third round pick if we don't have a second round pick.
They'll want a pick this year. It won't happen.
That was a mistake. I didn't mean to say say that. It'll happen either just before or during, I think, because there's no way that with the capital we've got right now we're going to.
Yeah, I think we all agree that we'd take him, but it depends, it's cost dependent. Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
But what would you guys go up to? So for me, I'd go up to a second.
Depends what we get.
If we get a quiet one, obviously.
Depends what we get in a trade back.
But, yeah. Exactly, because obviously we don't have that second.
And it depends who we trade with to get the second. If you're talking a pick around the top 10 in the second round, I think that might even be a bit much.
Yeah.
Bottom half of the second to a third is where I'd go, I think.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what happens between now and the draft, because I think the price decreases the closer we get to the draft, because the Steelers just don't want him. The Steelers are done by all accounts. So the closer we get to the draft, I think I'm hearing a third and a seventh or something like that is what's being bandied around on Twitter. I'd take that in a heartbeat. But the closer it gets to the draft, you get to that point where actually he's still going to be on the Steelers' payroll. They don't want him. What is the point? Will they take anything lower? I can't see that happening, but it'll be interesting to see this period between now and the draft and see what happens with AB there.
If it gets to that point, I think they would take less. I just think another team will offer a third and a seventh before then.
Yeah. Some teams are going to lap it up.
I think this is going to be a very fluid situation, and I think there's going to be a lot of teams sniffing around, kicking the tyres, seeing how much value they can get. The Steelers will hold fire for a bit, knowing full well that there's a market, not because they're going to tout him out at a stupid price, but just because they know they can hold a few teams' feet to the fire.
Draft picks as well. There's players that can be put in that deal also. I mean, we've not got many tradable assets. I think Leonard Williams was the name that's been put out the most with being tradable.
Fireman Ed.
Yeah.
What I've seen about is Robbie Anderson in a four.
Yeah. I mean, I'd do that as well. I mean, Anderson's restricted free agent this offseason.
I wouldn't go as high as a fourth for trading away a player who is a good young player. I mean, fair enough, he's not the same talent level as what Antonio Brown is, but do you really think that for a second that they're going to want a third and a seven over an actual player who's good in a fourth or fifth? I don't know, because at the same time we're getting rid of our over the top receiver by doing that.
I'm just going to say this now: we are Jets fans, so you know if we trade that player, he is going to become exponentially better next season.
Yeah,
he is going to be so good,
and Antonio Brown's going to be awful. As well, that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
First training session, Dante Fowler-esque ACL just gone, boom. That's it.
Yeah.
Well,
Stan, on the topic of trades, at Roachy1985 on Twitter has asked, should the Jets trade down from the third overall pick?
This is a question that gets asked every year, and it really annoys me because you should always trade down, but a trade needs two partners. And it's all fine and well saying, you need to trade down and then go mental when they don't. But you can't allow yourself to get bullied either and just trade down for the sake of it. There needs to be a team there willing to say we are willing to give up what it takes to go there. And as it stands, I just don't think the team is there. I don't think anybody cares enough.
In a weird roundabout way, I think our saving grace is Baker Mayfield. His height and hand size and all the stuff that went about his draft process last season, the same will happen for Kyler Murray, and we saw Baker Mayfield go first last year. I fully believe that teams will overlook the Kyler Murray issues because he's such an athlete, and someone will want to jump.
There's two differences, in my opinion, between them, though. One, I'm still not confident he wants to play football. I think he's leveraging it. And two, I think he's leveraging, for a deal off the A's. And two, Baker Mayfield broke his own NCAA record for efficiency 2 years in a row. He was a Heisman finalist multiple years in a row. He won it in his final year. He started, I think, total 4 years. See it, Oklahoma, and won it. Was it Texas Tech? Was that before that? Kyle Murray started 1 year. Like, quarterbacks go out after 1 year of starting, do not do well.
You can just see it's happened so many times before, and I think someone's going to buy into it. There's teams below us in ideal positions. The Jags don't know what they're doing. The Giants need a successor. I just think someone's going to bite it, and just literally we will be the ideal trade partner.
Yeah. I'd love them to. Well, it depends. I think they'd be looking to go higher to guarantee it, though.
Yeah,
more breaking news, by the way. DeMarcus Lawrence has just said that he will not sign a franchise tag if you place it on him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'd love that.
If Lawrence gets franchise tagged, he's going to refuse to sign it, which means that he will become an unrestricted free agent next year. So I don't see the Dallas wasting one on him. If they really want him, they're going to have to pay him now, and I don't know if they're going to do that. So
they got the money. Does anyone know Dallas is cap? Have they got the money?
I think they would have enough money to sign him, but they would have enough money to sign him, and that would really be it. So
can they sign him and Dak?
I don't know. The thing that I would see them more than likely doing is if he has genuinely refused to sign a franchise tag and has told them this, I see them being like, well, see you later then. You can leave and we'll bring Earl Thomas in instead for less money.
No, well, they'll franchise him and trade him. That's the issue. They're not going to just let him walk.
The problem with that, though, is if he gets franchise tagged and he refused to sign it, he is technically still on the team, but not at the same time. So if you
they have the rights to him whether he signs a franchise or not.
The problem with that is that the likelihood of him being traded without him signing a franchise tag is extremely low. Anyone becoming a partner of that, I can't see it happening. I don't see them doing it in the first place, to be honest. I don't see them trying to either get in or just let him go.
This is the place for the breaking news, by the way. Ross has a hotline to Adam Schefter right now. We got Adam Schefter tied up in a corner. We've stolen his phone. We know everything that's going on. Yeah, so stick with us throughout the offseason because it's going to be a roller coaster.
When this podcast goes out, none of this will be breaking news anymore. This will all be like hours in the past.
but we still got Adam Schefter, so that's all right.
Back to the original question. I think trading back is always optional. But the idea that it's up to the Jets, did you see this year we're trading back? I think everyone seems to think if you say you're trading back, you automatically get a partner. It's harder than it seems, especially
going back to what was said about Kyler Murray, though. I'm trying to remember for the life of me what podcast I was listening to. But they were talking about his situation, obviously, with whether he's going into the draft and committing to the NFL or going and holding the A's to ransom.
Yeah.
The fundamental aspect is there is no 100% chance that he is definitely going to make it to the majors in baseball.
Not at all.
The farm system has eaten up and spat out players that are probably a hell of a lot better than he is.
Yeah,
whereas going into the NFL, the guaranteed money is obviously ridiculous. We know that, you know, especially if he gets drafted top 10, which, you know, there's a fair to good chance that would happen.
Yeah.
I think going through the baseball way, That's not a sure thing. So that'll be a sure sign of his character if he does play
baseball.
I'd agree with that up until the point of who's drafted him in the MLB.
No, but the situation,
Billy Beane doesn't take players who he doesn't think are going to succeed, and the majority of Billy Beane's draft picks pan out, specifically his first rounders. So I think
teams have a lot of players in the farm systems.
Yeah, but I think they don't have a lot of first round picks, though. That's the thing.
Thing with A's, though, he's basically said he wanted 15 million guaranteed from the A's to play baseball, which is a first. It's just not going to, like.
I'm sorry, that's hilarious.
It's not happening. You don't get that. The baseball money's massive once you make like a third contract.
I mean, as somebody who watches, and I'm sure like quite a lot of you watch other American sports and watch baseball, knowing 50 million at his age, unproven in single A, let alone double A, let alone triple A, let alone coming in as a pinch hitter, whatever.
I'm also wondering that he's asking for it from the 30, like he's asking for it from the lowest ranked team in regards to salary. And the entire of the MLB is like, give me the highest contract for a rookie ever.
But the reason people think he might get it is specifically because they're that poor. They can't waste first round picks.
Yeah, but I mean, the A's aren't a poor team, as in like they aren't a bad team. They're a very, very good team, but.
No, but that's what I mean, though. They've not got the money to go out and sign Manny Machado at 10 years, $300
million. I mean, fair play. Having belief in your ability is one thing, but there's a fine line between genius and madness. It really is.
The thing, going back to us trading down, I feel like these quarterbacks, I feel like teams are going to just go after them for the sake of going after them because there is no one else. Sign Nick Foles. Like, come on. That he's been hyped up so much this season because of his Super Bowl winning performance in the playoffs, and
he is serviceable though. He is serviceable.
But yeah, well, but the Broncos just went and traded for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but
who's next on the list though? Tannehill. I mean, not like
the Broncos just traded for Joe Flacco. But let's have a look at Elway's record with quarterbacks. It isn't.
No, it's terrible. That's not what I mean. Though. It means that teams don't like going for rookies.
Yeah,
the total rebuild like the Jets were.
Look at the teams who have the potential to draft a quarterback this year. From what we've heard from rumors, Arizona do, Oakland do, the Giants do, and the Jags do. Out of those four teams, three of them have the potential to trade up with the Jets.
Yeah, but the issue is
the biggest partner being the Jags, because I see them wanting one of those two quarterbacks, whether it be Haskins or. Money.
I cannot for the life of me see the Cardinals drafting one. And the reason that that's such a big deal is why would they say they're thinking about it, or why would they let these rumours come out? They let the rumours come out because they want teams to think they're going to trade them. Mm-hmm. They want to trade down, which is horrible.
Oh, it's a lot of bluff and bubble bluff. But in the next month or so, it's going to be ridiculous.
I don't listen to rumours. Like, remember, I don't think for a second
that Gruden's going to get rid of Carr either. The rumours are, though, that Gruden's high on getting another quarterback and he's high on Kyler Murray. I don't see it happening, but, I mean, they are the rumours. I could see Denver moving down as well, though. Even though they've just traded for Flacco, I could see them drafting a young quarterback.
The issue they've got, if they draft a quarterback, they've got the second highest cap space dedicated for quarterbacks. And they're still starting Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
I would see them
getting rid of Case Keenum, though. I could see Washington.
His cap hit still hits them for like $11 million, even if they trade them. It's guaranteed money.
I know.
Even if they trade them, they get hit with the cap space. They're still sitting with the second highest cap space dedicated to quarterbacks. It's ridiculous how much money they've got spent on quarterbacks.
Not gonna keep.
Do you think anybody would try and take a punt on Teddy?
I thought so, but he did not look good in the match he played last year with the Saints.
Yeah. Do you think he's burnt all his bridges? do you think he's do you think he's like lost his chances now? You know, he's starting to fall into the Robert Griffin III category of, oh crap, he's had a big injury, he's not playing.
No, I think the big difference between Teddy and RG3 is Teddy's at least a prototype style, so he can make a career as a backup. RG3's issue is, if you have RG3, you need to build your offense around him.
Yeah.
And it's not a good position to be a backup if you need the offense built around you. Whereas Teddy can go into a normal prototype offense and just be a capable backup for the rest of his career. RG3, that's not really an option unless you're playing behind.
I'm not saying he's where RG3 is now. I'm saying, do you think he's slowly declining into becoming that in a couple of years' time?
I think he's more likely to be considered. Hoyer.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that's too much for me. I can't like that. Be said.
I don't know.
I think you have to look at the system he's been put in. Payton doesn't change his systems. Payton won't be like, we're going to run a new game plan this week because we're not using Drew. Like, Drew Brees is one of the best gunslingers ever to play in the NFL. Uh-huh. Rich Moore definitely isn't that. So they've just put him in the system and been like, you do what you want. I hope you can play like Drew Brees, and he can't. I see Jacksonville taking him and running him like they've done with Bortles, where he's a game manager rather than being this guy who has to basically entirely run the offense through him, like Drew Brees kind of is in New Orleans. I can see him running that Jacksonville offense fairly confidently. I just think he can put it.
I think I could do a better job than Blake Bortles.
Yeah, but
like, turn around and hand it off. Just don't throw an interception, please. Like, he's terrible.
Theory, after the amount of screens that the Jets threw last season, I think I could do a better job than Sam Darnold tossing it out to the right hand side and then watching someone get battered for a loss of four.
Or last
year.
I see. Sorry. Going to the Jags. Realistically, what I see the Jags doing is I see them signing Bridgewater, and I see them drafting a quarterback to sit behind. I see them drafting like a Drew Locke who isn't really ready for them. And he isn't high, and he needs some time to develop and hold a clipboard. I can see them going after Drew Locke in the draft and taking him. And if that's the case, the Giants are apparently high on Drew Locke, and he's their quarterback. I can see
the Giants want to. They're not trading up for Drew. Surely they won't trade up for Drew Locke.
The Giants wouldn't trade up for Drew Locke, but the Giants apparently the number one quarterback in their board is Drew Locke.
Really?
Someone reported that. I think it was one of the ESPN guys reported that they're high on Drew Locke. So are
the Broncos.
And I thought they'd won Haskins.
That would be
as soon as I hear the Broncos are high on a quarterback, I'm holding the quarterback. Nothing to do with that.
Well, this year.
Sorry to have to cut you guys off, but I think we're coming towards the end. I mean, it's funny how, even though we've got a quarterback finally and Sam Darnold, we're still obsessed with all these QBs coming out of college.
Old habits die hard.
Go. Just before we go, I think Lee has a little request from our listeners about going forward. So do you want to fire away, Lee?
Yeah, so obviously we want to be your go-to podcast for all UK and Ireland Jets information. So obviously we're going to build this podcast as much as we can, get it as slick as we possibly can. So what we want you guys to do, I think Seb's going to put a poll out on Twitter after this, and we want you guys to vote on to the podcast. So who you think's podcast voice to do a little intro for us? We're going to kind of mix that together. And can only get four choices on the poll. So I'm going to put in Ross and Josh as options first of all, because, you know, everyone loves a sexy Scottish accent. and then I think I'll leave it up to Seb to choose the other two options. I'm going to opt out of that because I look like Tom Hardy as it is, so I don't want my voice to kind of overtake this as well.
You're putting too much pressure on us already.
So Paul's going to go out, vote on who you think you want to do the intro.
Each other already.
Love it, got to have some competition going. But we're going to make it as slick as possible. We want you to hear that intro and basically realise that the Jets UK and Ireland Jets podcast is on, and hook you right in. So that's what we're going to do. So I think back to you, Seb.
Yeah, well, so I just want to say thank you guys for...
Well done, we had one more question.
To chat, and thank you all for listening.
We had one more question.
Yeah, we do have one more question. Sorry, yeah, I've missed that out. From Olivia, our fellow Twitterer. Would you rather fight 20 duck-sized Jamal Adams or one Jamal Adams-sized duck? I mean, we do ask big questions here.
Fine.
Like 20 Jamal Adams-sized... No, 20 duck-sized Jamal Adams or one Jamal Adams-sized duck. And I'd 100% rather fight one Jamal Adams-sized duck because I love Jamal Adams and I would never fight any Jamal Adamses, no matter the size.
I'm going for the 20 duckside Jamal Adams because that would just be dripping in swag, in my opinion. And that's just you know, Jamal Adams is just the literally, I reckon, it's going to be our franchise defining player. So more of that, the better. So 20 duckside Jamal for me.
Yeah, but you're fighting him, remember?
Oh, he can batter me as much as he likes. Literally,
I would go 100% for the Jamal Adams sized duck because my wife is terrified of any type of bird, and the look on her face would be absolutely priceless.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you all again, and thanks for listening. See you later.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.